Acts chapter 24, we come across Felix the procrastinator. Are you a procrastinator? Do you put off the things that need to be done until the last minute? Are you someone who is easily distracted by other lesser important tasks? I would say there's probably a little bit of procrastination in each of us, but some of us are better procrastinators than others. I won't ask for a show of pointing fingers to one another, although I have noticed there have been one or two sideways glances in some of the pews. This morning we come to a procrastinator, the Governor Felix. Paul is brought to another trial where he's going to have to defend himself again. And there's going to be two more trials before his journey to Rome. We could be forgiven for thinking we're experiencing some sort of deja vu. But Paul, time and time again, defends the reason for the hope that is in him in Christ Jesus. Paul is ready to do that on each and every occasion. And on this occasion, it's before Felix. The Jewish high priest Ananias comes down with the council in verse 1, and they've brought with them a lawyer, a man called Tertullus, possibly one of their best. And he is there to lay the case for the prosecution. He stands up before Governor Felix, and he sets out his case. And we can read Tertullus' opening statements in verses 2 to 8. It's full of flowery, flattery language. O Felix, O since we enjoy so much peace, and since by your foresight, O most excellent Felix, reforms are being made everywhere for this nation, in every way, we're just so thankful. Oh, you're just wonderful. We love you, Felix. We're just in gratitude to you. But I want to be brief because I don't want to take up your precious time, Felix. That's what Tertullus is doing here. The only problem is it's complete rubbish. There has been no peace since Felix became governor. And Felix certainly didn't bring about any reforms, nor has he used any foresight. Marcus Antonius Felix, he succeeded Pontius Pilate as governor. And he was known for his cruelty, his licentiousness, his willingness to accept bribes, which he tries to do with Paul later on. As governor, we're told in the historical records that crime increased in Judea during the governorship of Felix. There was a rise in internal feuds and disturbances, which Felix always put down with severity. He's a man who was in an adulterous relationship with Drusilla, this Jewish princess. She was the daughter of Herod Agrippa. And Felix basically stole her from another man. This is not the man of whom you'd be saying, we really appreciate everything you've done for us. But Tertullus does so. And he really doesn't want to keep Felix, so he says, I'm going to be brief. These three charges that he brings against Paul. Look at verses 5 and 6. Firstly, he says Paul is a pest or a plague among the Jews. Paul is one who stirs up riots, and he does this throughout the whole world. Paul's been causing riots through the whole world. Not only is Tertullus a sniveling, groveling flatterer, he's also, I want to say, because I was talking to somebody about this, he's the worst exaggerator in the world. He exaggerates. Through the whole world, Paul has been doing this. Secondly, he says, Paul is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. unrecognized cult in Roman law. That's who Paul is. And then this third accusation. Paul has broken the Jewish law in profaning the temple. Which is actually interesting because the Jewish historian Josephus tells us that Felix had the high priest Jonathan assassinated in the temple. So he's saying to this Roman governor who has defiled the temple, Paul has profaned the temple. And then the prosecution finishes. Three charges brought against Paul, and the Jews who are there affirm all the charges. Hear, hear. Oh, we all agree with this man, Tertullus. Paul now speaks for himself as the defense. There's no flattery, but he does speak respectfully to Governor Felix. Look at verses 11 to 13. This is the response to charge number one, Paul being a plague and stirring up riots. Very simply, Paul says, there's no evidence to prove that. And this is easy for you to verify, Felix. Go and check the facts. Verses 14 to 16 are in relation to charge number two. Paul says, this I do confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers. I believe everything that's laid down in the law and the prophets, the scriptures. And I have hope in the resurrection. Paul says, my conscience is clear before God and men. The faith that they are saying is an unlawful sect is actually the faith that these men claim to be of. This is the way of our fathers. This is the way of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. It's the way of Moses. It's the way of David. It's the way of Elijah the prophet, our father. This way is the faith that they claim. The third charge is defended in verses 17 to 20 concerning the temple. And Paul says, this was instigated by some Jews from Asia. But where are they? If they have a problem, they should be here and set out their case before you. But those who were bringing that charge aren't even there at this trial. If not, then Paul says, let these men say in what way I defiled the temple. There's no evidence. Because there was no defiling of the temple by Paul. Paul then concludes his defense in verse 21 by saying, the reason that I am on trial here is because of the resurrection of the dead. Then we have Felix. And Felix then begins his procrastination. Felix, we're told, puts off making a decision by saying that when Lysias the tribune comes down, then I'll make a decision. And so the Jews go home, and Paul is returned to prison, but with some privileges. He's liberty, his friends can visit him. And during the next 2 years, Felix gets to speak with Paul. A few days after the trial, Felix, along with his wife Drusilla, send for Paul to hear him speak. And that continues for 2 years. Obviously, Lysias the tribune never returned. Felix never had to make a decision on the case. He has somehow put it off. He's procrastinated on having to make a decision. And we're told why he does that towards the end. It's because he was hoping he would get some sort of bribe. If I put off making a decision, then Paul or some of his friends will give me money to have Paul released. Here is Felix, the procrastinator, not wanting to make a decision. And so he keeps Paul in prison. But far more serious than his procrastination over Paul's trial is Felix's procrastination over the gospel, putting off what must be done. And I want this morning to focus on these closing verses in chapter 24, from verse 22 to the end, because there are warnings that we need to take from the life and actions of Felix. This morning we need to know there is a danger in procrastinating. There is a danger in putting off what needs to be done, especially concerning the gospel. So let's look at these closing verses. And the first thing we see is Felix has accurate knowledge. Felix has accurate knowledge. During the trial, Felix has been listening. And the Jews are trying to insinuate that Paul was part of an illegal cult. They're maybe not aware that Felix actually knows about the way. That's how the Christians were described. Jesus had said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And those who followed Jesus called themselves part of the way. And Felix has an accurate knowledge about the way. That means he's heard of Jesus. He's heard about the crucifixion. He's heard about the resurrection. Felix knows the details of what has happened. Possibly his wife Drusilla has filled him in on the trial that her uncle Herod Antipas had conducted before Jesus. It was her father, Herod Agrippa, who had James, the brother of John, executed. Felix, through Drusilla, has an inside line onto some of the things that were happening. So Felix has a knowledge of the way, I'm sure, from her. But more than that, we are told that it is careful or accurate knowledge. He knows all about Jesus. But this is so very different to knowing Jesus. Felix is someone that you could quiz on information, on facts, on figures. And he'd do very well. We could say that Felix's Bible knowledge on the life and times of Jesus would reveal that he has careful and accurate information. But that's not enough. That's not what is necessary to save him. Knowing about Jesus is not the same thing as having faith in Jesus. Believing that he existed, believing that he died on the cross, even believing that he rose again from the dead is not the same thing as saving faith. And we see this in the life of Felix. And perhaps this is you as you sit here this morning. Maybe you think, "I know a lot about Jesus. I know a lot about the Bible. Well, I believe he was God's son. I believe he died. I believe he rose again. All the evidence points to that." But if you do not have saving faith, then you are not okay. Having an accurate knowledge of the facts is not what saves you. So don't put off what needs to be done. And we see, secondly, with Felix that he has feelings of guilt. Felix has feelings of guilt. Along with his wife Drusilla, they call Paul to come and entertain them or preach to them. Paul comes and he speaks of faith in Christ Jesus. This is the topic that they need to hear. It's not enough to have facts and figures. They need to hear about faith in Christ. It shouldn't surprise us that that's what Paul preaches on. Why would he speak about anything else? This is the most important thing you need to hear, Felix and Drusilla. Faith in Christ Jesus. Paul's sermon has 3 points. We have good sound biblical warrant for 3-point sermons from Paul. Firstly, righteousness. Paul deals with righteousness. God demands righteousness. That is, that God demands everything we do is to be right according to his word. Everything we think is to be right according to his word. Everything we say is to be right according to his word. And anything short of that standard is unrighteousness. There is a righteousness that God demands. Paul speaks about righteousness. Being right before God. And the problem is, we fall short of that righteousness. The problem is, we are unrighteous. But in speaking about faith in Christ, Paul would have explained that God has actually provided a righteousness for us. That there is one who has lived the righteous life that we can't live. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God who took on flesh. God who took on a nature like ours, yet without sin. There's one who is righteous. But the problem is, you and I are unrighteous. Secondly, Paul deals with self-control. We have a real problem. We are not self-controlled. In fact, we are sin-controlled. That would be a way to describe us. Not self-controlled, but sin-controlled. Our lusts, our desires, our tendencies, we are inclined towards sin. We give in to sin because we're not righteous, because we lack self-control. Remember who Paul is speaking to. This is Governor Felix, this licentious, cruel, adulterous, weak-minded ruler. Here is a man who has taken Drusilla, who was married to another man, and taken her as his wife. He's a man who was prone to bribery. He hopes that Paul will pay a bribe to set him free. Here is a man who has no self-control. But Paul, in his preaching, directs his comments to this congregation of two. Felix, Drusilla, let me tell you about self-control. And you don't have it. You're inclined to sin. Paul doesn't fear man in his preaching. Paul was confrontational when he had to be confrontational. Paul presents the truth without flinching. Paul says, let me tell you about self-control. And there's Felix sitting, listening to the sermon. We are sin-controlled, not self-controlled. We give in to sin. We're not righteous. How many of our sins, how many of your sins can be traced to your lack of self-control? To that inclination to do, to say, and to think what is wrong? Paul's third point in his three-point sermon is about the judgment to come. God must punish this sin. God must punish my sin. God must punish your sin. There will come a day when we will have to stand before the righteous God and give account for our lives. It's destined for man to die once, and after that, judgment. That's where we're headed. Are you ready to stand before Jesus Christ? Are you ready to face the punishment that your sins deserve? Friends, there's a day coming, and it's fixed. It's coming soon, when you will have to be before the righteous judge, and we can't escape it. Paul preaches about the judgment to come. And Paul's sermon hits its mark. Felix, we are told, has guilt for his sin. Verse 25, he was alarmed or terrified. The thought of the coming judgment, it caused Felix to lose sleep. The truth has made Felix quake. Even though the preacher is a man in chains, here is a prisoner. And here is Felix, the governor, the ruler. And yet Paul says 3 points. One is about righteousness. We fall short. One is about self-control. We don't have it. The third one is about a coming judgment. And that's where you're headed. And the preaching of the prisoner brings feelings of guilt to Felix. But feelings of guilt won't save you. Paul's sermon is about faith in Christ. The good news is that the judgment that we deserve, it's taken by one on the cross. Jesus took the judgment on the cross for his people. This is why he died. This is what Paul is preaching about. Jesus bearing the sin of his people. Jesus facing the wrath of God for us. On the cross, our unrighteousness was placed on him. And by faith, by trusting in him, by relying on him, we know that our sin is dealt with and his righteousness, his goodness is now given to us and it covers us. That so when it comes to the day of judgment, we can stand before God the Father and we are clothed in his righteousness. All that Christ has done for us is of no value unless it's applied to our lives by faith. It's not enough to have accurate knowledge. It's not enough to know who Jesus is. It's not enough to know about the way. It's not even enough to have feelings of guilt for our sin. But there must be faith. There must be trust. There must be a turning to Christ. We must come and confess our sin to God, believing that only in Jesus Christ is our sin dealt with. Accurate knowledge won't do it. Feelings of guilt won't even do it. And this brings us thirdly and tragically to Felix puts off believing. Felix puts off believing. Even though he is terrified, he tells Paul to go away from him for now. And he says, when I get a chance, I'll call you again. And he does call for Paul. For 2 years, he has Paul come and speak to him. But nothing. Felix, at the end of those 2 years, is going to be recalled to Rome because of crimes that he committed in Judea. Crimes that he will get off with in Rome. He's going to be replaced by Governor Festus. Felix won't get to meet Paul again. As far as we know, he never got to hear the gospel again. He put it off. He procrastinated. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. Here's a warning. You might say, I'll wait. I'll wait before I decide to come to Christ. I'll have time. It's just not a suitable time right now. I'll put it off until I can get this sorted or until I can deal with this issue in my life. Just right now, it's not the best time for me. But if God calls you in his word to turn to him, to turn from your sin, to give yourself to Jesus Christ, to confess and seek forgiveness. And then you say to God, "Okay, I'll wait for another time before I summon you." How dare you? If God calls you to repent and to turn to Him, to say, "Oh no, God, I think I'll just wait." What are you doing? For Christians here, those of us and those of you whose fellowship with Christ perhaps can grow cold, struggling with a certain sin, and you know you are, you know what you should do, you read God's word and it's clear to you that you're to come to Him through the new and living way that's been opened for you. But you're not doing that because you're saying, "Not right now, God. I'll wait until I get things sorted. I've more important things to do. But don't worry, God, when I get an opportunity, I'll come to you. I'll summon you." How dare we? We procrastinate in the most awful ways, and the most dangerous and the most heinous way is to say, "I will put off coming to Christ." Do you not know that this very night your life could be demanded from you? Who knows how this incoming week is going to unfold? What of Drusilla? Drusilla went on holiday with their son, who was called Agrippa. They went to a popular holiday resort on the coast of Italy. It was a town called Pompeii. The 24th of August in the year 79 AD, Drusilla was there on holiday with her son, and Mount Vesuvius erupted, and she died along with her son. Do not procrastinate. Do not put off the things that God calls us to do. We don't know when our lives will be demanded from us. We may never get another opportunity. Don't say it can wait, because it can't wait. This is urgent. This is for the here and now. Friends, take a warning from Felix. I would even say to you, if you're not a Christian this morning, don't even wait until you get home. This news is urgent. Saving faith in Jesus Christ. None of us is righteous. We are sin-controlled, and there's a coming judgment, and we need that sorted. And so even now, as you sit there, seek forgiveness from your Father in heaven through the one who took the punishment on the cross. Do not put these things off. How dare we procrastinate and say, "God, I will summon you when I get the opportunity." Because, friends, that opportunity may never come. Amen.